من كلمة الدعوة، حتى إذا نطقنا بكلمة الدعوة الصبر صار الكلام قريبا في فهمه.
Sheikh said that the subject of our lecture today is da'wah and sabr, or in other words, the manners that every person who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should acquire in order for the da'wah to be easy on him and in order for him to achieve really the goals of the da'wah. And he requested me to translate the word sabr and the word da'wah for you, so that from now on we will mention sabr in Arabic and da'wah in Arabic, and they became like terms known to you. Sabr, as you know, because it is also in, you see, other languages like Urdu, sabr is the ability to restrain yourself. It is the ability to persevere and endure. So when you are able to control yourself and able to restrain it from doing something or push it very hard in order to do something, this means you have sabr. And this is the meaning of sabr. And I hope it is clear, because from now on I'm going to mention the word sabr as much as I can. The word da'wah is also very common, and every Muslim should understand the word da'wah. And here in your conference, you mentioned the fifth da'wah conference. So da'wah is known to you. Da'wah is to call others to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the subject of this lecture is focused upon these two matters, sabr and da'wah. And inshallah we'll use the Arabic words for them.
إذن فنريد أن نعرف ما هي الدعوة وما هو الصبر عليها. الدعوة هي تعريف الناس بالله، تعريف الناس بربهم، وهذه الدعوة مهمة من؟ إنها موضحة في قول الله عز وجل: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. أنا أي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومن اتبعني أي كل مسلم. فالدعوة واجبة، ليست أمر تجمل، إنما الدعوة أمر إلزام واجب على كل مسلم. وإن أثر القيام بالدعوة هو انتشار الإسلام على مدى 15 قرنا في بلايين البشر. هذا هو أثر الدعوة. فلقد بدأت الدعوة بفرد واحد هو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم انتقلت منه رغم المعوقات الكثيرة، فانتشرت في أرجاء الأرض وانتقلت من قلب إلى قلب ومن بلد إلى بلد، حتى ملأت الدنيا عبر القرون، وهي بفضل الله باقية ستنتشر فتبلغ ما بلغ الليل والنهار.
So what is the da'wah and how can we have sabr in da'wah? Da'wah is for us to make the people recognize their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to explain to the people who is Allah and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whose duty is da'wah? The answer for the question is clarified in the following ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, say, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا, I call to Allah upon knowledge, upon certainty. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, me and those who follow me. So, from this ayah we understand that da'wah is an obligation upon every Muslim, because every Muslim is a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is binding upon us to follow that order, and that is to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the effect of da'wah? The effect of the da'wah is the spread. The clear effect of this da'wah is the spread of Islam throughout the lands in the hearts of billions of people. This da'wah, da'watul Islam, has started with one person, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was transferred from him to other people in spite of difficulties, persecution, and a lot of obstacles. And from those people to another generation, and from heart to heart, from land to land, till it reached us, and is going to remain till the end of the time, and it's the call of Islam shall spread all over the globe. Inshallah.
إذا عرفنا النتيجة من القيام بالدعوة وهو انتشار الإسلام, فما آثار ترك الدعوة؟ آثار ترك الدعوة التي انتشرت بعدد قليل من الدعاة فملأت في نصف قرن بلاد آسيا وإفريقية وغزت أوروبا في نصف قرن, آثار تركها على قرون بعد ذلك طويلة ما فيما بعد القرن العاشر, أن حلت الشيوعية في بلاد المسلمين, أن استحلت كثير من المحارم فضاع النساء وضاع الأطفال ونهبت الأموال وسفكت الدماء. أثر ترك الدعوة هو الذي نسمعه من عويل وصريخ في كل أنحاء الدنيا على الإسلام والمسلمين, فهل عدنا إلى دعوتنا ليرجع إلينا المجد فيرهبنا الناس مسيرة شهر؟
Now, as we said earlier, we know the result from performing this obligation of da'wah. From performing the obligation of da'wah, which results, as we said, in the spread of Islam. And the example was, you see, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, that they spread Islam in a relatively short time in many, many lands, which include Africa and Asia and the Arabian Peninsula. What are the effects of abstaining from fulfilling this obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, one of the bad effects is that, you see, ideologies like communism spread in the lands of the Muslims. Also, whatever we see of the sanctities that are violated, and the wealth of the Muslims that are devoured, and the honor of the Muslim women which are violated, all of these are bad results and bad effects of abstaining from fulfilling the commandment of da'wah. And also, whatever we hear of screams here and there, shout for help, cry for help all over the world is because we have neglected this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shouldn't we go back to our da'wah so that we may restore our honor and dignity?
ثم يطلب مع الدعوة خلق وخلق الدعوة الصبر فالصبر يجعل أثر الدعوة قائمة لذلك فإن الله عز وجل أقسم فقال والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. تواصوا بالحق أي بهذه الدعوة، وتواصوا بالصبر أي على هذه الدعوة. لذلك وجب علينا إخوة الإسلام أن نعرف أن مع الدعوة خلقا هو الصبر لا تثمر بدونه. الصبر يقوي الله به الضعف، كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. الصبر يضاعف الله به الأجر، والله يضاعف لمن يشاء، إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب.
We must conduct the obligation of da'wah with proper manners. And the most important manners when the person is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having sabr. Because having this quality makes the effect of the da'wah continuous. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَالْعَصْرِ. By the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making an oath, by the time إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Truly insan, mankind is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who believe and work righteous. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And mutually advise one another with haqq, which is the da'wah, and sabr, which is the sabr in performing and in fulfilling the obligation of da'wah. We cannot reap the fruit of da'wah without this quality, the quality of sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that when you have sabr, it is a form of strength. You can strengthen yourself by the sabr. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ. How often a small group غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً, defeated a bigger group, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah is with the sabirin, meaning helping them and aiding them. So by this, the people derive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this quality, they can acquire the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His aid. Also, by having this quality, we will have our reward multiplied. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Truly, those who have the quality of sabr will be rewarded without measure. There is no limitations for their reward. And who is saying this? Allah, who is generous. So here we find that there is a great reward, a reward that is multiplied manifold for the people who have the quality of patience, of sabr.
والصبر خلق جميع الأنبياء حيث صبروا جميعا على دعوة أقوامهم. نوح صبر 1000 سنة إلا 50 عاما، وإبراهيم صبر بالحجة وصبر على النار، وموسى صبر على فرعون وصبر على قومه، وعيسى صبر على الذين يدعوهم، وكان نتيجة صبر كل واحد منهم أن أظفره الله فنصره وجعله من أهل الجنة. ثم كان الصبر هو الخلق الذي علم للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل الدعوة، فجاءه الملك وهو في الغار لا يعرف نبوة ولا رسالة، فقال له اقرأ، قال ما قلت، فقلت ما أنا بقارئ، قال فأخذني فغطني حتى بلغ مني الجهد ثم أرسلني. يتكرر ذلك مرات ليتعلم أن هذا الذي جاءه يحتاج إلى صبر، فكان الصبر قبل الدعوة. لذا لما صبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما مات إلا والدعوة قد انتشرت، ثم كان انتشارها بعده سهلا ميسورا.
This quality of sabr is the manner of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام had this quality of sabr throughout his dealing and throughout the time in which he called his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was 1950 years. Ibrahim had this quality of sabr, and he had so much sabr so that he was able, and he fulfilled the commandment of he entered the fire that was ignited for him because of his da'wah, because of his da'wah and because of his deen. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also had a lot of this quality, as sabr, when he dealt with Fir'aun and the kuffar who are around Fir'aun. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had this quality when he called his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result of having this quality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made all these prophets victorious in this life, and he is going to let them or admit them in paradise in the hereafter. It is also sabr, also is a quality which was taught to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even before the da'wah. When Jibril came to him and told him to read, ordered him to read, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "I am not a reader." And Jibril had held him very tightly for a while, then he released him. And he did this several times so that he may understand that he is in need of this quality, the quality of sabr. This is how sabr was even before the da'wah. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fulfilled his mission as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left this life, he departed from this life, and he had made the all the necessary thing established so that the da'wah can spread very easily all over the world.
وحتى أبسط إليكم عناصر الصبر، فإني أذكر أن الصبر يطلب من المسلم في تحصيل العلم، ثم يصبر بعد ذلك في تحصيل الفهم السليم الصحيح فيه الخالي من العوج والانحراف، ثم يصبر في العمل بذلك العلم لزوما للطاعة واجتنابا للمعصية، ثم يصبر بعد ذلك في دعوة الآخرين إلى هذا العلم والفهم والعمل الصحيح. فهذه عناصر أربعة، عناصر أربعة للصبر، وأقوام خمسة أصبر معهم، أصبر مع نفسي علما فهما عملا دعوة، أصبر مع أهلي وأسرتي وأقاربي وعشيرتي علما وفهما وتطبيقا وامتثالا ودعوة، وأصبر مع الموافقين في منهجي علما وفهما وتطبيقا ودعوة، وأصبر مع المخالفين لمنهجي علما وفهما وتطبيقا ودعوة، وأصبر مع الذين هم من منهجي إلا أنهم دخلوا في المعصية، دخلوا في المعصية علما وفهما وعملا ودعوة، وبذلك يصبح عناصر هذا الموضوع 20 عنصرا. لا أفصل هذه العناصر 20، إنما أذكر السمات العامة، وأنتم خير من يفهم ذلك إن شاء الله.
He said every Muslim is required to have this quality of sabr in all stages, in many stages. He is required to have this quality when he seeks the knowledge. He is required to have this quality when he is acquiring the true understanding of the Islam. He is required to have this quality when he applies that knowledge, when he practically put this knowledge into practice. And finally, when he calls others to what he has learned and understood and applied. And also, this is required in different areas. He is required to do that with himself when he personally is seeking the knowledge, when he's personally applying this knowledge, and also when he is calling his family to the knowledge or to the true understanding or to apply the knowledge or to call the others those things. Also, he is required to have this quality, the quality of sabr, when he is calling those who agree with him in the matter of the methodology and the understanding of deen, when he is calling making da'wah to them with respect to knowledge, the understanding of the religion, and the practice of this understanding, and in calling others. And also, he needs this quality when he is dealing with the opponents, those who oppose him with respect to the manhaj, with respect to the methodology. He needed in all these elements that we have mentioned. And he needs this when he is dealing with people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs it when he is teaching them the knowledge or the understanding of Islam and how to practice. this Islam and the call to the other people.
وأضرب مثالا إلى الصبر في العلم، فأنت إذا لم تصبر على العلم فقدته. ولقد كان سلفنا الصالح يصبرون على طلب العلم، فهذا ابن عباس الصحابي الجليل يقول كنت أتوسد عتبة باب زيد بن ثابت أنتظره ليخرج فأسأله فأتعلم، وأنا أعلم أني لو طرقت عليه ساعة من ليل أو نهار لفتح لي لقرابتي من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإذا لم تصبر مع القرآن والسنة لتتعلمهما، وأنتم هنا يضاف إليكم في الحاجة إلى الصبر عنصرا جديدا، أن لغة القرآن ليست هي اللسان الذي تقضون به حاجاتكم اليومية، فيحتاج الأمر في التعلم منكم إلى صبر أكثر من صبر غيركم في التعلم.
An example about the importance or the need for the sabr when we are seeking the knowledge. He said, if you don't have the quality of sabr in seeking knowledge, you may lose all the knowledge. And this is how our righteous predecessors used to be, used to have this quality. Ibn Abbas said that I used to wait at the door of Zayd ibn Thabit till he opened the door so that I may learn from him, so that I may ask him and benefit from his knowledge. And I know that if I knock the door, he would open the door for me because I am a close relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you do not have this quality of sabr with the Quran and the Sunnah, then you lose the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. And here in this country and this land, you need the sabr, especially for one more important aspect, and that is you don't know the Arabic language. And this requires that you have more sabr to learn this language in order for you to understand the religion of Islam, because it is the key for understanding the religion of Islam.
أما الصبر في الفهم فإن الحياة الدنيا ملئت منذ القدم بأقوال أهل الضلال بل والكفر، ونقصد بأقوال أهل الضلال الفرق التي تشعبت عن الشيعة والخوارج والمرجئة والمعتزلة، فملأت الأفكار ضلالا. ولعلكم تذكرون المحاضرة السابقة للشيخ علي الحلبي التي أشار فيها إلى هذه الفرق، وتكلم من قبله الشيخ محمد موسى نصر في الكلام عن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة. فالصبر على فهم هذه الأصول دون التشعب مع فرق الضلال وإن كانت أقوالهم براقة، فإن إبليس لما دعا آدم إلى الأكل من الشجرة قال له شجرة الخلد، قال له ملك لا يبلى، قال له أن تكونا ملكين، فغره بزخارف الكلمات. فكذلك أهل الضلال لا يدعون تحت أسماء قذرة، إنما يدعون تحت أسماء براقة. حتى أهل الكفر، هل الماسونية تدعو الناس فتقول اكفروا بالأديان؟ هل الذين يسفكون الدماء في كل بقاع الأرض يقولون هيا نستبيح دماء البشر، انهم يتخذون عناوين براقة، لكن الحق في ما فهمه صحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن سار على سيرتهم.
Another matter that we have mentioned is having sabr in acquiring the true understanding of this religion, because the sayings and the statements of the people of deviation are everywhere. And I mean by the people of deviation those who branched out from Shia and Shia themselves, and Khawarij and Mu'tazila and Murji'a. And all of you remember the talk of Sheikh Ali al-Halabi and Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasr, which clarified more details about these groups. So without you having the quality of sabr to acquire the true understanding and stay away from these statements of the people of deviation, those who are misguided, whose statements are not necessarily under the title of misguidance. It is not clear that they are misguidance to everybody. Rather, they may seem attractive and impressive and more acceptable to people. Because the people of dalal, the people of deviation, they try to beautify the words so that they will attract the people, as Iblis, their master, did when he wanted to tempt Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He told him, when he called him to eat from the tree, he told him shajaratul khuld, the tree of immortality. And also he told him mulkin la yabla, a position that will never ever finish, or it is everlasting position, you'll have it forever. And malakaini, angels, you'll become angels if you eat from this. So all these are beautiful words, attractive words, impressive words, words that are made especially acceptable for the people so that they may follow the falsehood and stay away from the truth. And even the kuffar, they don't act under dirty names, okay? Like look at the Masons, for example. They don't say, let's disbelieve in all the religions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they say, let's believe in all the religions are fine. And this is another way of saying, let's disbelieve in all the religions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who violate and kill the people without right, also they justify that with beautiful, attractive names. But we have to understand that the truth is that which is... which was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion and everyone who followed their method in excellence.
أما الصبر في العمل والصبر في التطبيق فهو المحك، وهو الاختبار الذي يظهر به المحق من المبطل. ورب العزة سبحانه وتعالى يعيب على أقوام بقوله لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون، كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. لذلك فينبغي أيها العبد المسلم أن تعمل بإسلامك ولا تترخص. وهنا في كلمتي هذه ستجدون الإجابة عن 50% من أسئلتكم. لا تترخص في أكل لحم الخنزير ولا بيعه، لا تترخص في شرب الخمر ولا الجلوس على مائدته ولا التكسب منه. لا تترخص في أن تتزوج المتبرجة، لا تترخص في أن تنظر إلى ما لم يحل الله عز وجل لك، لا تترخص، لا تأخذ لنفسك رخصة بسبب كذا، أنا أفعل كذا، أنا مضطر إلى كذا، فلست صابرا إذا ترخصت. فإذا أنت ترخصت في الكسب أو في المجاراة أو في المداهنة، فأنت عندئذ لم تقم بالعمل والتطبيق حق القيام. أنت أيها المسلم بين مجتمع الكافرين تمثل الإسلام، أفتمثله وأنت تحمل خمرا وخنزيرا؟ أنت أيها المسلم تمثل الإسلام، أتمثله وأنت تكذب أو تغش أو تسرق مالا حراما؟ عاش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبه بين الكافرين الذين يعذبونهم، فمال من استحلوا؟ أخذوا مال من؟ زنوا بزوجة من؟ هذا باب واسع لا أستطيع أن أجمع أطرافه، لكن أيها العبد المسلم خذ نفسك بالإسلام، تجد القلب سعيدا وتجد الحياة من بعد ذلك حظية. فالدنيا ساعة فاجعلها طاعة.
Sabr is also required when we are practicing the knowledge, and this, the practice of the knowledge, is the test, the real test of the person. It is the test which differentiates and distinguishes between the person who is true to his word, true to his commitment, from who is not. It is a person which distinguishes between who is really good and who is really not good. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why you say something and do another? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is most hated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say something and do another. This is why you have to act upon your Islam. And if you do that, and if you listen to this lecture will answer 50% of your questions. Because I'm going to tell you, do not take the matter of eating pork and selling pork lightly. Do not consider it halal. It is haram. Do not consider the matter of drinking liquor and sitting at a table on which liquor is served as halal. Do not consider it halal and do not take it lightly. It is haram. Do not pick up the woman who does not cover. Do not take her as a wife. Pick up or choose the one who covers. Do not look at that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Do not take this matter lightly. If you take these matters lightly, then you do not have sabr. If you do not, you are not careful about the source of your livelihood, then you did not act upon your knowledge. So you have to really take the matter of your religion seriously. You Muslims in this land represent Islam. How could you represent Islam while you are drinking liquor or selling liquor or sitting at a table on which liquor is served? How you can represent Islam if you lie and cheat? How you can represent Islam if you violate yourself the manners of Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived among the people who opposed, harshly opposed his da'wah. Yet he did not take his money. He did not take their money. And this is a very long and the explanation may be extensive. This is why I'm not going to take, meaning the Sheikh, long time explaining. Thus, I want to say that, O servant of Allah, commit yourself to the religion of Allah. Life is so short, so you make it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend that short time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أما آخر العناصر فهو عنصر الصبر في الدعوة وهو رأس الموضوع وأصله. فالصبر في الدعوة صبر في الدعوة أولا مع القريب مع الأهل. فخبرني، لو صبرت على زوجتك كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كرهت منها خلقا رضيت منها غيره، هل تبقى؟ هل يبقى لها من حاجة إلى فراقك؟ لو صبرت الزوجة على طاعتك كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا نظرت إليها سرتك وإذا أمرتها أطاعتك وإذا غبت عنها حفظتك. إذا صبرت الأم على زوجة ابنها وصبرت الزوجة على أم زوجها، هل تبقى من مشكلات؟ فالصبر هو تلك الصخرة التي تتحطم عليها أمواج المشكلات، فلا تبقى مشكلة. نصبر في البيوت ثم أصبر مع الموافقين.
ترى نأخذ عنصر عنصر كذا كما تريد كما تريد كما تريد.
الصبر مع الموافقين أي مع الذين يدعون بنفس دعوتي، مع الذين يسمون أنفسهم أصحاب الدعوة السلفية. أتظن أنهم جميعا سيكونون على رأي واحد في المسائل العملية؟ المسائل العملية فيها باب واسع، باب واسع، قد تختلف الأفهام فيها، فنصبر مع اختلاف الأفهام تلك، لأن الدعوة واحدة. ثم إذا جلسنا مجلسا نريد أن نتفق على الدعوة إلى الله فاختلفنا في الآراء، فإن الحق أن أصبر على تنفيذ الرأي الذي لا أقتنع به وأن أجعل ذلك الأمر ناجحا. وإن الصبر إذا تناظرنا في مسألة ونحن ندعو إلى الله أن أدعو الله أن ينطق غيري بالحق لأن نفسي أطوع إليه فهي الأقرب أن أجعلها تلتزم الحق. أما أن أرى أن الناس إن تبعوا رأيي فأنا معهم وإن خالفوه فلست معهم فذلك بيت الداء. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم امتدح الجندي الذي لا يعرف، الذي إذا حضر لم يدعى ولم يقرب، الذي إن كان في المقدمة كان في المقدمة وإن كان في الساقة في المؤخرة كان في المؤخرة، إن قال لم يسمع لقوله وإن شفع لم يشفع. هذا إن كان الناس لا يعرفونه فالله يعرف. إن كنت أيها المسلم تريد أن يعرفك الناس بدعوة فما أخطرك، وإن كنت تريد أن يعرفك الله بدعوة فالله لا يغيب عنه أحد، لا يغيب عنه من خلقه شيء. عمر بن الخطاب لما جاءته من بلاد الروم نتائج النصر من الغنائم نظر إليها فبكى، وقال قد مضى من هو خير مني ولم يأته مثل ذلك، فأخشى أن يكون استدراج. إن صبرك مع الموافق هو المحك، هو المحك. إذا جلست لتدعو الناس أفتصبر؟ إذا جلست لتتناظر في طريقة الدعوة وخالفك من معك في أسلوبها، أتسير معهم أم تتخذ طريقا آخر؟ تسير مع الشيطان لأنهم لم يأخذوا برأيك. فإذا نفخ الشيطان في أذن رجل منهم، أتعين الشيطان عليه لتتعمد تحقير رأيه وتصغير قوله؟ إن الدعوة إلى الله تحتاج إلى جند أكثر من حاجتها إلى قادة، وآفتنا اليوم أننا نريد أن نكون قادة. والقيادة مسؤولية، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لأبي ذر: وأسألكم من منكم يزن أبا ذر؟ فلا تتأمرن على اثنين. الدعوة مع الموافق، نحن صرنا جماعة ندعو إلى الله عز وجل، فإذا بنا في أول مناقشة خرجنا جماعات، كل واحد منا يدعو لأن يكون زعيما لجماعة. إنها أمانة، وإنها يوم القيامة خزي وندامة، خزي وندامة. فأينا الذي يريد أن يكون متبوعا؟ ونحن جميعا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تبع. إن الاتباع هو ميزة هذه الأمة، هو ميزة هذه الأمة. فإن كنت تريد أن يسمع الناس قولك فاعلم أن هذا حظ الشيطان منك، وإن كنت تريد أن تعمل لله فإن الله يراك فلا تغيب عنه أبدا. تلك هي الآفة، أننا نجد من يحب أن يكون مطيع مطاعا، ولا نجد من يحب أن يكون مطيعا. نجد من يحب أن يكون رأسا، ولا نجد من يحب أن يكون مرؤوسا. انظر إليها في نفسك واعلم أن الشيطان ينفخ فيها، ينفخ في حظ النفس، واعلم أن النفس تجرك إلى النار، وأن طاعتك لله ورسوله تجرك إلى الجنة. فاختر، وأنتم بين الكافرين تحيون، ورخصتم لأنفسكم واستبحتم لأنفسكم أن تعيشوا بين الكافرين، ولا يباح لكم ذلك إلا أن تكونوا إلى منهج الله داعين. لا يباح لكم ذلك لأي سبب إلا أن يكون السبب هو الدعوة إلى الله. فإن قمتم بها فرادى كنتم ضعافا، وإن تعاونتم فذلك أمر رب العالمين. وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى، ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. ذلك هو الدعوة مع الموافق، وهي أهم من التسامح مع المخالف. لأنك كثيرا تجد نفسك في حياتك تحيا بين الكافرين وتتسامح معهم، وتلتقي بالمخالفين ولا تصارعهم، لكنك يا للأسف تلتقي مع إخوانك الموافقين وتكثر الصراع، ويا للعجب أنك تعطي هذا الصراع مسحة أنه لله، تدعي أنه لله، وهذا زور وكذب، إنه للشيطان، إنه للشيطان. أما إن كان لله فأنت لا تفارقه على أمر لنفسك فيه حظ. الدعوة، الدعوة أمانة، وأنتم تعيشون بين الكافرين. فإن لم تحرصوا على العلم النافع والعمل الصالح والفهم الصحيح ولاستمرار أن تكون الدعوة مستمرة صرتم فتنة للكافرين، وأخشى أن نكون بذلك وقودا للجحيم. وإن أردتم أن تكونوا حقا مسلمين فتعلموا العلم الصحيح وافهموا الفهم الذي تركه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صحبه الكرام، واعملوا به من غير ترخص جاف، وادعوا إلى الله محبا أن يهتدي الداعي للدعوة ولو على يد غيرك، ليس بالضرورة أن يكون على يد نفسك. وهذه أهم عناصر محاضرتنا.
The Sheikh said, and this is as he said right now at the end, that this is the most important element in the lecture, and this is regarding sabr in da'wah. In da'wah, the person and every Muslim should have this quality of sabr with the person who is a close relative. The person need to have the quality of sabr with his wife. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you may hate one of her qualities, but you will love another. Now, if the person have this quality of sabr with his wife, is there any reason for her to stay to want to stay away from him or to separate from him? And if the wife at the same time had the quality of sabr in obeying her husband, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, describing the good wife, that it is she is the one to whom if you look you feel happy, you will be pleased, and if you order her, she obey you, and if you are away from her, she protect you, she guard you. Now, if the mother have the quality of sabr in dealing with the wife of her son, then you see many problems, many troubles through which families go through will disappear. So sabr is like it is a quality which remove a lot of problems from our life. Now the Sheikh is talking about a different the sabr with al-muwafiqin, those who agree with us, those who agree with us with respect to the methodology, with respect to the that we should follow the right understanding of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't think that those people who say that we are the followers of al-da'wah al-salafiyah, we follow the da'wah of as-salaf as-salih, our righteous predecessor, don't think that they shall have one opinion with respect to many the fiqh issues, because the understanding of people differ, and it's impossible that the people and the scholars of this da'wah may have one opinion with respect to all the yani rules. The person should have sabr when he is discussing with a person, discussing about a matter to see is he right or the other person is right. He should love that the other person is right when he is dealing with someone who follows his manhaj, because he know of him, he know himself, and he can subjugate himself to submit to the truth, but he cannot guarantee the other person. This is why he lied, that he may say the truth so that he will agree and say this is the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised the soldier who does not care where his leader put him. Any position he give him, he will obey his leader. Whether he is in the in that position or this position, and this person is praised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he is not known, he may be not known, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows him. If the people do not recognize his effort, if the people do not recognize him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize him. And it is a great danger. The person is in total loss if he work in the da'wah seeking the recognition of the people. When Umar radiallahu anhu received the war gains after one of the battles, he started crying. And he said that people who were better than me, people who are better than me, they died without receiving this much of war gain. And he was afraid that he may be going through a fitna or a trial. When we have sabr, when we are dealing with the people who agree with us, this is a test. You cannot debate with any person if you don't have this quality of sabr. She should not have the attitude that I'm ready to obey the shaitan and not obey this person or that person. One of the main problems of our da'wah is that we are in more need to soldiers than our need to leaders. This is one of our main problem. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, addressing Abu Dharr, and tell me, who among you weigh like Abu Bakr in the sight of Abu Dharr, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He told Abu Bakr, Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, it is a great responsibility, meaning the matter of imara, the leadership, and it is going to tend to khizi, degradation, and nadama, regretfulness on the day of resurrection, and you are a weak person. So do not be amir over two people. Do not be amir over two people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, addressing a person who is a great companion of his. This, following and submission, is one of the main characteristic of this ummah. So you should not have the attitude that I need to be heard, I don't want to hear anybody. You should not love to be obeyed, and at the same time you don't want to obey any other person. You should not love to be ahead, and you don't like to be a follower. So when you have these, you see, wrong attitudes, you are obeying the shaitan, and shaitan leads to the hellfire. And your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead you to paradise. You are living among the kuffar. You are living among the kuffar. And you have considered this okay. And the Sheikh is stating that it is not permissible for you to live in this country, in this land, except if your duty is the da'wah and the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is your only justification in living in this land. And you have two options. Either to individually call to the way of Allah and make da'wah, or to do it united, to do it together. If you do it individually, then you are weak. And if you do it together, you are applying the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى إِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate in the matters of righteousness and do not cooperate in the matters of oppression and transgression. It is more important for us to have sabr with the person who agree with us than it is to have sabr with the person who is a kafir or disbeliever. But we find that we have reversed this. We find that we are a lot very tolerant when we are dealing with the disbelievers. But when we come to dealing with one another, you find that we don't have that sabr and that tolerance. This da'wah is a great responsibility. It is a great trust. It is a trust, and this ilm is also a great trust. And if we don't practice our knowledge and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm afraid that you may be fitna for the kafirin. You may be a trial for the disbelievers, that their misguidance be caused by your attitude and by your behavior. And I'm afraid that the result then will be that we go to the hellfire.
And والكلمة الأخيرة التي أختم بها حديثي وأعتذر عن الإطالة هي ميزان الدعوة الحقة، الميزان الذي تزن به الدعوة الحقة. اعلم أن الدعوة اتصلت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بنقل عدل ضابط إلى أن تقوم الساعة. النقل الدعوة اتصلت بغير انقطاع، فكل دعوة رؤوسها حادثون تنتمي إليهم فهي باطلة منقطعة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فانظروا، تجد القاديانية كذلك، البهائية كذلك، الدروس كذلك، الشيعة كذلك. وأضرب مثالا بقصة طريفة، لا أدري هل سأستطيع أن أبلغ بها إلى الأفهام أم لا. في مناظرة بين السنة والشيعة، دخل رجل من العلماء وقد انعقد المجلس، فصافح علماء السنة، ثم لما جاء علماء الشيعة خلع حذاءه ووضعه تحت إبطه وصافح علماء الشيعة. فقالوا له: لماذا فعلت؟ قال: لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل. فقال له الشيعة: وهل كان هناك شيعة في زمان النبي؟ قال: إذن فما جلوسكم؟ لما تجلسون؟ ما دام لم يكن لكم وجود في زمان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا يجوز أن يكون لكم وجود بعد. فانظروا كيف قطعهم. الدعوات اليوم التي تدعي أنها سلفية ثم تسب رموزها وتصغر منهم دلت على أنها استعارت الاسم وهي منقطعة، فدلت على بطلانها، لأن الدعوة لا بد من اتصالها بنقل عدل تم ضبطه إلى منتهاها. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
It seems that there is a lot that the Sheikh want to say, but the time does not allow. He concluded in mentioning a criterion, a criterion by which we can differentiate between the true da'wah and the false da'wah. He said, any true da'wah should be a continuation for the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There should not be any break in the middle of this da'wah. It should be continuous from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam till our time. So any da'wah which is started or founded by certain people and it is related to these people is not considered a true da'wah. And he mentioned Al-Qadianiyah because it was established by Ghulam Ahmad Qadian and Baha'iyah and the Druze and many other groups. All of these, they are named after the founders or they were started at certain point after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the true da'wah is that which is the continuation of the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he concluded with a beautiful story in which you see there were some scheduled debate between Sunnah and Shia, scholars of Sunnah and scholars of Shia. So a person entered and he shook the hands of the scholars of the Sunnah. Then when he reached to the scholars of Shia, he took off his shoes and put it under his underarm and shook the hands of the scholars of Shia. And they did not like this. And they said, how come you did this? He said, because the Prophet ﷺ did it with the Shia. And they, he told him, were there Shia during the time of the Prophet ﷺ? And he told him, then why you are here? Why you are coming here for discussion and debate? If you yourself agreed that there was no Shia during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So, any da'wah which does not have this continuation is not a true da'wah. Any da'wah which take the verbally abuse the leaders of the da'wah, the scholars of a da'wah salafiyya, is not a da'wah. It is just from our current time. He said that if you find some people who claim to be Salafis and at the same time abuse the Salafi scholars, these people have only taken the name of Salafi, but they do not belong to the Da'wah Salafi. And by this he concludes, and I know that he wants to say a lot of things, but the time does not allow. JazakAllah khair.
We're running out of time now, so we've got about 5 minutes for a couple of questions only, inshallah. After that we're going to break. So if somebody wants to take a question from the floor, you can raise their hand.
Any questions? The Sheikh has already answered 50% of your questions, so now we are talking about the other 50%.
Assalamu alaikum. How does one approach da'wah with elderly parents who may get offended?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
How do you approach da'wah with elderly parents who may get offended? Because they've been busy providing for you while you suddenly, after a couple of months, telling them what they need to do in Islam. So how do you approach it with parents?
مسلمين
مسلمين.
العلاقات على قسمين: علاقات تنفصم تقبل الانفصام، وعلاقات لا تنفصم. فعلاقة الأبوة والأخوة والبنوة علاقات لا تنفصم، والعلاقات التي يمكن أن تنفصم علاقة الصديق والزوجة. فالعلاقات التي لا تنفصم كعلاقة الوالدين لا بد أن نستمر في الدعوة إلى الله خشية أن يكبوا في النار، وأن تكون الدعوة إلى الله برفق وتذلل. هلا أيها الأخ الكريم، بكيت بدمعك عند قدمي الوالدين فبللت أقدامهما بدموعك فرقوا لك فانتقلوا إلى الحق رفقا بك، ثم يرزقهم الله الإخلاص بعد.
He said that there are two types of relationships: relationship that is inseparable and a relationship that is separable. The first is like the relationship between the father and the son, between the father and the mother, between the son and the mother, between a brother and his brother. These types of relationships are inseparable. And the other type is like the relationship between the wife and the husband, or a friend with his friend. These are separable. They can be separated. With respect to the first type of relationship, like you see your example, the relationship between you and your parents, you have the obligation to continue calling your parents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but with extreme gentleness and with a lot of humbleness, so that they will, you will protect them from the hellfire. And this is the implication, this is the sign of the true love. So did you, for example, sat at their feet and cried to them, calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Their hearts will be softened when they see this, and they may just obey you just because they love you as your son, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ikhlas later on. So you need to really try and not give up hope and not be despaired.
Okay, inshallah. We've got a 10-minute break until 6:10. After that, we resume for the next talk by Abu Abdulaziz on jihad, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan.